Hey everyone. Hope you're all doing well today. I'm dropping in with a little bonus episode because I really wanted to share with you an excerpt from a chapter of my upcoming debut book, Unruly Figures, 20 Tales of Rebels, Rulebreakers, and Revolutionaries Who You Probably Have Never Heard Of. Now, the book has chapters that cover several people that I have never covered before on the podcast, so I wanted to share a little taste of one of those chapters with you. The story of Emilio Robles Avila is a fascinating one because he complicates and confounds so many of the stereotypes of Mexican gender roles during the Mexican Revolution. Though he didn't have the same language that we use today, he lived openly as a transgender man, using masculine pronouns and masculine gendered adjectives in Spanish while fighting in the war and after. He was a brave fighter and ultimately something of a bad boy, enforcing his masculinity through negative stereotypes of machismo culture like violence and womanizing. And yet, his very existence proves to us that our ideas of gender norms and enforced masculinity, enforced femininity in Mexico are a little bit more complex than we've long been told. If you like this excerpt, you're going to love the book that it's a part of. Pre-order Unruly Figures, 20 Tales of Rebels, Rulebreakers, and Revolutionaries today, wherever you get books. The Mexican Revolution, 1910 to 1920, made room for more than just a new national government in Mexico. For many, it created room to take on new identities and forge new futures for themselves. Emilio Robles Avila is one of those people. One of the earliest recorded transgender figures in Latin America, Robles was assigned female when he was born on November 3, 1889. Growing up in Xochipala, rural Guerrero, at the turn of the 20th century, Emilio came from a family of ranchers. They were mid-sized landowners, and when the Mexican Revolution swept through, they, like similar families, took center stage. Emilio's family, Casimiro Robles, died when Emilio was young. His mother, Josefa Avila, remarried, but Emilio apparently never got along with his stepfather. He had several siblings and half-siblings, many of whom he remained close to his entire life. As landowners, most of the family never moved out of Xochipala. Probably as a preteen, Robles joined the Daughters of Maria, a Catholic group, quote, dedicated to refining young women's spiritual education. This meant that the nuns taught the girls traditional female tasks like cooking and cleaning, in addition to overseeing their religious studies. By some accounts, Robles had a rebellious nature even as a teen, which couldn't be tamed even by the strict nuns that he saw daily. Around this time, Robles, quote, courted a schoolmate as her beau. Though Robles dressed in traditionally feminine clothing at this point, he generally took on the quote-unquote masculine role in romantic relationships, mimicking heteronormative expectations for relationship dynamics. That included pursuing and seducing the schoolmate that he was interested in. As was expected, Robles worked in the family restaurant, which served food to revolutionaries passing through the area during the early stages of the revolution. He also learned how to handle weapons and became adept at riding horses. His prowess with a firearm atop a horse was seen as a, quote, good spectacle in his hometown. As a youth, Robles wanted to grow up to be a doctor, a traditionally masculine profession. In 1910, dictator Porfirio Diaz won another term as president in a sham election. Diaz had handpicked aristocratic Francisco Madero to run against him, knowing he would lose. However, Diaz had not expected Madero to become popular enough to successfully lead a military revolution against him. After the election, Madero had temporarily fled to Texas, proclaimed himself president of Mexico, and re-entered Mexico, collecting groups of peasant guerrilla forces with him as he traveled south. One of these groups was the Liberation Army of the South, led by Emiliano Zapata. Zapata had a history of forcefully winning power and land for the oft-ignored mestizo and indigenous people in the state of Morelos in south-central Mexico, and had emerged as a leader and voice for the people. Zapata's forces defeated Diaz's army in the Battle of Cuautla in May 1911. Diaz later admitted that the fall of Cuautla convinced him to resign. The Mexican government, deeply in debt and unpopular, collapsed, and Diaz retreated into exile that same month. October 1911 saw Madero formally elected to office. But by November, it was clear that the inexperienced leader didn't know what he was doing. Frustrated by what he saw as Madero's betrayed promises, Zapata wrote and published the Plan of Ayala in late November, which called for land reform and denounced Madero's presidency. It effectively united smaller rebellions and general discontent under the goal of redistributing land that had been bought up and stolen by wealthy landowners and consolidated into large haciendas. Under this call, Robles joined Zapata's Liberation Army in 1912 or 1913. According to historian Gabriela Cano, Robles' inspiration might have been less about the agrarian cause than about, quote, passion for the intensity of war, so full of dangers and strong emotions. Later in life, when reminiscing about the revolution, Robles said little about agrarianism and politics and more about the daily life of the battlefield and exploits with comrades. Though Robles had always preferred masculine hobbies, it's unclear when he began wearing masculine fashion and asking that people use masculine pronouns to refer to him. Possibly it began in 1911 or so when many women began adopting masculine clothing for safety. War zones are often sites of sexual violence against the female population, and effectively disguising oneself as a man could go a long way to avoiding this inhumanity. However, the women in Mexico who adopted male disguise for their safety to fight in the revolution usually removed their disguise once the war was over. Women who fought in Zapata's army include Colonel Juana Gutierrez de Mendoza, who lobbied Zapata to stop the abuse soldiers perpetrated on women. Beginning his transition might have been easier in such a historic moment, but it's clear from his personal accounts that safety was not his primary motivation. By adopting traditional masculine dress and going to war, Robles was living out his true self, not hiding. As a guerrilla fighter, Robles discovered, quote, the sensation of being completely free. Regardless of when he began externally showing his transition, Robles was well established as a man by his mid-20s. Now, Robles clearly embodied the ideal revolutionary soldier. He was courageous and often daring, quote, responding to aggression immediately and violently. His comrades, quote, admired his precise emulation of a masculinity understood as a display of strength and violence. In many ways, Robles both confirmed Mexican-gendered stereotypes of behavior while simultaneously confounding them by the very nature of his existence.